So Jason kicked off, we're going into a series right now, and Jason kicked it off last week, and what we're talking about is generosity, and we're going to talk about generosity from a lot of different perspectives, but today I'm going to talk about generosity of time and talent. And Jason shared last week, Acts 20, verse 35, where he says, "In everything I showed you that by this kind of hard work we must help the weak, remembering the words of the Lord Jesus himself, it is more blessed to give than to receive." What a great summary of generosity, that it's better to give than it is to receive. And we're all here because God has demonstrated that. In fact, the way that God has set up his kingdom stands in stark contrast to the spirit of this world, right? The way that God operates is very different than the way that this world operates. So I think it's important for us to understand that the natural inclinations of what we see in this world and the way that his kingdom works, they're going to be necessarily at odds. But when everyone around you is saying something one way, after a while you go, well, that kind of sounds right. I feel like I've heard that before. Well, you have heard it before, but it doesn't mean it's necessarily true. When we were going through practicing the way John Mark Comer brought up that, you know, living in culture is a lot like living in a river. And unless you're swimming in a direction, you're going the same direction as everyone else. It has a current, right? So we're being discipled by our culture, by the cultural mindsets that are prevailing in this world, unless we're being discipled by God. Are you guys, you see what I'm saying? So there's a certain sense where we have to go, not everything that feels right is right. Has anybody ever noticed that? So Disney was wrong. Don't trust your heart. The Bible says the heart is deceitful above all things. Luckily, we can be born again and begin to trust his heart. Amen? So this is one of those moments, all right? Matthew 6, 24 through 27 says this. This is our entry into the kingdom. Then Jesus told, I'm not sure what that is. Did I give you the wrong address? I'm going to read what I have, and I may have set JP up for failure. And if so, forgive me, my brother. Then Jesus told his disciples, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what shall a man give in return for his soul? For the Son of Man is going to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he'll repay each person according to what he has done." So in the kingdom, the wild thing about God's kingdom in the area of how we respond, how we live, is that we actually, if we want to gain something in the kingdom, we give. If we want to save our life, we give it away. But if we try to save our life, we end up losing it. It's the exact opposite of the instinct of what this world shares with us, right? How many times do people say, "You just need to look out for you, bro. Like, that's a bad situation. You need to take care of you. You better think about you first," right? And everybody's like, "Boy, that sounds great. I was already thinking about me, and thank you. We both agree. Let's both think about me." And whereas in the kingdom, God does the exact opposite. He goes, "Hey, look, if you're going to start with just thinking about you, you're going to lose your life. But if you'll give your life away for my sake, you'll actually gain it." So there's an opposite instinct. And God himself, he actually demonstrated this. The way the kingdom works is very different. So John 10, 7 through 17, let me just break it down for you. "So Jesus again said to them, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, I'm the door of the sheep, and all who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I'm the door. If anyone enters by me, he'll be saved, and he'll go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." Our instinct to want to live an abundant life is God-given, okay? There's nothing wrong with the fact that in you, you have this sense that there should be peace and confidence and contentment in your heart. That yearning that you have is a very healthy yearning. And in fact, Jesus says, if you want to have abundant life, come to me. In another place it says, let me teach you, right? Are you hurried? Are you weary? Are you weighed down? Come to me and let me teach you my unhurried rhythms of grace. Let me teach you how to live. And Jesus is saying, I've come to give you abundant life. So we're actually called to live from this place of abundance that only comes through Jesus. So the question is not, are we supposed to have an abundant life from him? The answer I would say is yes. Do you agree? Okay, he came to bring us abundant life. Godliness with contentment is great gain. That is appropriate. That's right. We're receiving that through Jesus. But then he says, but there's a way that you do that. Okay, and guys, that stands in stark contrast to how the world operates. So he continues, I am the good shepherd. So he, let him demonstrate now. How did he get us that abundant life? What did he do? I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming, leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches him and scatters him. He flees because he's a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. So that would be the enemy and the people that are hanging with him, doing things his style. But he says, I'm the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. And just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold, because he was speaking to the Jews at that point. The other sheep that are not of his fold, that's us, y'all Gentiles. Thank you, Jesus. Okay? And he says, I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. And so there'll be one flock, one shepherd. In Christ we have one hope. For this reason, the Father loves me. Now listen, for this reason, the Father loves me because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. And this charge I've received from my Father. This is the part that I want to keep honing in on, okay? So we're gonna talk about generosity of time, and you're thinking, well, how are you going to do that? Well, just wait, I'm going to get to it. You'll see. But there's a way that God works, and there's a why from which he works from. And we have that same why, and we have that same way. And I'm demonstrating to you that Jesus says, I'm going to give you abundant life. I'm going to take care of you. And let me tell you how it is that I give you this abundant life. I'm going to give my life so that you can have abundant life. And he says, no one takes it from me. Right? I'm giving it of my own accord, and I'm also, my Father has given me authority to take it back up again so that you can have abundant life. And he says this, I've received this way of doing things, I've received this charge from the Father. I'm demonstrating what it is to live abundant life, to win abundant life, and to give you abundant life, and it begins with me giving you my life. Do you guys see that? So this is this is why we live from a place of generosity, is because we're living the same way that Jesus lived. Now, I don't know about you guys. I know this is very simple, but I take in a tremendous amount of comfort from the fact that we follow a God who doesn't say, these are the rules, you live by them alone. He says, these are the rules, I want you to live by them, and let me show you how, because I'm going to live by them. That's a whole nother deal. So when we interact, when we engage with the kingdom, I want you to understand something. You see what Jesus did. He said, I'm giving what's been given to me by my Father. And then he says to us, right, in another place, he says, here's what I've taught you. Now go do likewise. So that's where we're living from, is from this abundance that in the first place has been given to us. But everything that we have has been given to us. So the choice then becomes, okay, Lord, if you're the kind of God who gives, then if I'm following you, I'm going to be the kind of son or daughter who also gives. So our life is marked by generosity, because as image bearers of God, we are generous because he is generous. Are you guys there? Okay, so as we look at time then, we begin to say, okay, how then would I live a life that's in line with the fact that if I want to save my life, then I need to lay it down. Right? There's an opposite instinct. How many of you guys, I mean, it's not a trick. I'm just curious, and this is a safe place, but I want you to be honest. How many of you feel like you don't have enough time? Truly. I mean, like, it's okay. Yeah. Right? And the other half of you, we'd like to talk to you after service. There is a true sense of the limited nature of time. We have all been given 24 hours in a day. We've all been given 7 days in a week and 365 in a year. And on average, we've all been given about 80 years while we get to be on this earth. All right? In Christ, we have eternal life. But on this first earth, we have about 80 years or so. So that limited nature of time, that's not imagined. That's very real. That's what God has given to me. And the question is, Lord, how do you want me to manage that time? What do you want me to do with it? You know, we just talked about financial peace. Our calendar is like a budget of the vision of how we're going to spend this life. In the same way that you make a budget, right? In financial peace, you name every dollar. You tell it what it's going to, where it's going to be going and what it's going to be doing for you. Okay? Well, in the same way with our time, we also need to take a stock of our life and say, Lord, you've given me the same amount of time as the richest man or the richest woman on earth and the poorest person on earth. We all have the same amount of value in the sense of the time that we're given each day. You guys have probably heard that that little saying that whether it's a Rolex or whether it's a Timex, they keep the same time. You still, doesn't matter which one you're wearing, that baby's ticking. And the question here then is, Lord, how then shall I live with the amount of time that you've given me? And this morning, you know, as I was coming in, you guys, I promise, it might not always seem this way, but I promise that my desire is always to come in here to inspire you, to encourage you, to equip you, and to empower you, and myself. I mean, I preach to myself. And that's always my desire. And I have to be honest that probably one of the things that I've resisted in my life, and maybe you've resisted the same, but I'm less comfortable coming in and saying like, hey, y'all, here's what the scripture says, and you're sinning. It's not my favorite part. You guys are like, well, what's coming? But here's what I want to say. I want to be honest with you. But the scripture says this. It says that the scriptures are there for exhortation, for encouragement, and for admonishment. That the scriptures are actually supposed to tell our heart when we're singing to ourselves, let it go, let it go. I'm going to do whatever I want, trust my heart. And then the Bible goes, the heart is deceitful above all things. Who can know it? The Bible says, lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge God, and he will make your path straight. Our inclination is not always right on. And so we need to let the scriptures go to the motivation of our heart. It says it's a two-edged sword, and it cuts to the very motivation of our heart and say, Lord, I do love you. I have chosen you. I'm listening. I'm here. But search me. Is there any way in me that's out of alignment with your word? And for today, Lord, is there any way in my calendar that's out of alignment with what you are asking of me? Because the word says if I want to save my life, then I must lose it for your sake. There's this component of that I have given you lordship of my life, that I recognize that it's no longer I that live, but Christ in me. And so, Lord, if this is your time, is my stewardship of that time in alignment with your heart and your value? Because you're a generous God. Is my time, does my time reflect your generosity? You guys see that? And that's our question today. I'm asking myself. I mean, the nice thing is, guys, I am loath to bring this up, but people really give me the benefit of the doubt, which is awesome. Well, some. I don't know. Pastors are really getting a bad name lately because a lot of knuckleheads are doing some knucklehead things. But what I'm saying is that I'm not above needing to check my calendar and go, am I using this time that he's given me well? Just because I have this title doesn't mean my calendar is aligned with what God's desire is for how he wants me to invest this time right now. Are you guys hearing that? That was a little convoluted. I don't know what just happened there, but are we okay? All right, I don't have any sins to confess. I'm all up on sin confession. Not going to scare you here. But each of us has to say, Lord, what adjustments would you have me make? Yesterday we were having a time, we took a day and prayed with the elders and the staff, and something that Doug Easterday, who's one of our elders here, brought up was he was reminding us about how often you have to have intel that goes to any rocket that's trying to get to a destination. So, you know, for instance, when we sent some of those rockets to the moon, there's constant, you know, minute by minute and even up to the every 20 seconds or so adjustments that are happening to keep that rocket on course so that it goes to its destination. Like, we pointed it in the right direction when we started, but there's constant assessment to keep that thing course corrected so it actually gets to the destination. And I would dare say that our calendars, the way that we spend our time, we need that consistent assessment to make sure that we're making it to the destination that we started out with. Does that make sense? And so today what I want to do is I want to share a couple of thoughts here, and then we're actually going to do an assessment together, which will be fun, to invite the Spirit of God to speak to us about how he would like us to spend his time. Did you catch that? And I guess I went pretty heavy on it here because I was realizing how much I think of time that I have in this life as my time. Like, there's no grumpier Josh than when I had a day off that was open and then Karen interrupts it with her harebrained ideas of how she thinks that we should spend it. And I'm just like, I don't know why the enemy is allowed to come and deceive my wife into thinking that she gets to choose how I'm going to spend my time, right? And then it's like in that moment, I'm like, ooh, that's... Now, I am allowed, by the way, to have some decisions here, but you understand what I'm saying? Does anybody here understand? Did you feel your heart when you're like, yeah, it's my time? How many of you are getting offended? You're like, but it is my time, right? So I think there's something here, there's this invitation to recognize, and that's why I'm laying heavy on, whoever would save their life must lose it for his sake. It is not my time. It's his. But he's invited me into his time, which is way better. And so there's a couple of encouraging scriptures here, and then I want to make room for this assessment. So I do want to give you this encouragement in the midst of this, all right? In us giving our life over to the Lord, there's such a thing as healthy self-interest. Did you know that God actually requires that we be profitable in this life? He's the one that says, I have given you the ability to work and make a profit. When Jesus came and gave his life, he didn't do it just so he could be like, aren't I great? No, he did it because he wanted to give us life. He was excited to give the Father reconciliation with all of us, to defeat sin and death. There was an investment. He sowed life so that he could reap life. Do you guys see that? And we're doing the same thing. So there is an encouragement that as we do this, we move from it being our time and this, you know, form of life that has good things in it into that it all belongs to him and there's an abundant life that I receive in the midst of it. In fact, there's a scripture that says, none of you who have left houses or wealth or mothers or fathers or brothers or sisters will fail to receive 100 times more in this life and with the persecutions and eternal life. Did you catch that? Like, there's a promise of an abundance that comes when we live his way. It doesn't mean you don't have troubles anymore, but he is saying, I will give you my abundance in the midst of your 24 hours, and you'll live better than you did when you were doing it on your own. It's not pain-free, it says, and with its sufferings, but his grace is sufficient there. But what I'm saying is, there's a healthy self-interest, and it's appropriate for us to understand that in some places, and how many of you raised your hand to say, I feel like I don't have enough time. I want to encourage you that as you and I begin to submit our lives to the Lord and to say, Lord, where do you want me to sow time that I would reap your abundance within the time that you've given me? because I'm doing it my way, but instead of having abundant life within those 24 hours, I feel like I don't have enough life within those 24 hours. And the difference here is that he invites us to begin to sow that we might also reap. And I want to suggest to you, and I have seen this, that as you and I do engage in submitting our calendars to the Lord, in submitting our lives to the Lord, our time and our talents, that you will receive a quality of life that surpasses what you're currently experiencing as you honor him with the time that he's given you. Amen? Give and you will receive. Your gift will return to you in full, pressed down, shaken together to make room for more, running over and poured into your lap. The amount you give will determine the amount you get back. Now that scripture has been used as a sales technique for a perfect life with no troubles. Simply do this and you will receive all wealth and no sorrow added to it. That's not the full teaching of the scriptures. You will receive 100 times as much in this life, but with its sufferings, and you will share in his glory if you share in his sufferings. So it's not a trouble-free life. But there is the principle of understanding that God wants us to steward what he has. And in those places where oftentimes we lack, it's because we actually, instead of trying to give our life in that area, we're actually trying to save it for ourselves in that area. And you'll experience a breakthrough in this as you begin to do this, that God will add a quality and an abundance within your 24 hours. That's different. So what do you and I do about this? How do we do this? What are some things that we can do? Well, I think, first of all, and we're going to do this today, is it's important that we begin to assess. Number one, we just said, do I think it's my time? That's between you and the Lord. Work on that. Number two, how do I actually spend my time? I know for me, I'm wired to where I don't actually want to name it because I want to be free, man. Just do what I do, bro. I'm like led by the Spirit / whatever I'm in the mood for. That's how I'm bent. So I don't want to put anything on the calendar because it might keep me from something else I want to do when it presents itself. Amazingly, oftentimes what that equals for me is watching 30-second YouTube shorts of jump scare pranks and like all the choreographed dances that all kinds of people do, which in of itself is morally neutral and fine, but it then measures up to like 2 hours that I've been sitting here watching jump scares, and I like look up like in a like daze, and I'm like, oh yeah, good Lord, I'm just really living the abundant life. And it's been like 2 hours. And that still I could say, okay, well, it was my own time. I was on my day off, whatever. Sure. Okay. But then it happens again. So what's the point? That's how I spent my time. And the question I'm asking, I'll just confess my sins to you as I seem to be doing. The question that I'm asking is like, Lord, what is it? Where's an area where you're waiting for me, where you're waiting for me to come and be present and serve with my time and my talent? You know, my time, and sometimes it's just my time. It, you know, the time is the most expensive thing that I have to give. In fact, right now, one of the things that is offered to us, and I'm like, well, Lord, what do I do about this? But I want to invite you guys into this. At Laurel Elementary, the Annette, the principal there, really needs men to come and sit and read with little kids, boys and girls, on Fridays. Come on your lunch break and come read with these guys for half an hour. And she said, specifically, we really need men. Because so many of these kids, over half of them, are growing up with not one healthy, non-peer male relationship. And these kids are growing up off balance because they just don't have that in their life. They don't even know what that would be like. And so we're just asking, if you have those that are, you know, if you're here, be healthy. Let's grow to be healthy together. But that's something that you or I could give. I'm praying that the Lord would work within here and that five of you would reach out and say, hey, actually, I could do that. If you're somebody who has love in your heart and breath in your lungs and you can be nice to a kid for 30 minutes, you qualify. That doesn't take talent, but it does take time. And that's something that I'm like, wow, Lord, what if I could be present like you are with your light in my eyes, which is there with this kid? What would that mean? Do you guys know that I meet with a, I've been meeting with one person. We have lunch once a month. It's an hour, sometimes a little longer, but we've been doing that for the last like 15 years. And I cannot tell you the impact that that's had on my life. It's unbelievable how much you can get done in an hour over a long amount of time. Once a month. Is that a good investment of time? So that's one thing you can do is say, Lord, what is that area? And I think that sometimes an argument that can come to us when we ask this is like, well, I'm already really busy. Well, I think I've kind of spoke to that. Sometimes what we need to do is assess like, yes, you are busy, but with what? And like, this isn't about shame. This is about stewarding the time that we have and recognizing, am I like Joshua? Like, I might not be so dumb that I wasted all on 30-second dances. Yeah, but I guarantee there's some area, right, that we just sort of, we save it for ourselves, but then it's like we blow it all on, you know, popcorn and Twizzlers. Like, it's like, is that what I'm trading? This is not about guilt. It's a matter of saying, I only have this amount to steward. Lord, where would you invite me to trade something from one area and invest it somewhere else for you? Because that's what you're doing in that area. And I want to be doing what you're doing. Because he's not, you know, he's okay with me watching shorts, guys. He's okay with it. He's not okay with the amount. Can you receive that? Are you guys with me? All right. There are things that we can do too. I just want to throw out a few ideas here, but like there are wonderful things that we as a church do, like Love for Lane County. You know, if you're somebody that's able to maybe once a month or just to be on call, sometimes they'll just call up and say, hey, we need to go pick up a couple of dressers for a single mom and she needs a dresser and a bed. And would you be able to go get it and take it and deliver it? That's a beautiful way. There's beautiful things. The other one that is a huge deal, and they're all huge deals. I'm going to stop using these dumb qualifiers. Is your time with someone. Making making a space, and it's as simple as this, right? Lord, I was just talking to, I was talking to Kristen, and I didn't ask to share this, but I'm going to. Boy, this is a bad one. Just kidding. This is a good one. That she'll ask the Lord, Lord, who is someone that you would have me invest in this year? Who's someone that's on your heart? And they're probably already have that in their heart, but who's somebody that you would begin to identify? Would you bring us together somehow? Give me the eyes to see him and the ears to hear him and give them the mouth to talk and the eyes to see me so that we can meet and begin to spend some time. And it might be once a month, it might be once a week, it might be every other week. It's not about a formula here. It's about saying, God, this life belongs to you. Where do you want me to lay it down in your service with your joy and your power that someone else would receive abundant life through me with you? And I actually will then find as I lay my life down, I'm receiving abundant life because I'm doing it with you. It's really, let's not make it complicated, but it's that simple to say, God, where's that space? A great one, dip your toe in the water. Let's all show up February 7th for, what's the name of the thing?
Night to Shine.
Let's all show up for that. Night to Shine. Let's go celebrate kids that have special needs and put together a beautiful night and say, let me lay my life down to you for you. We're going to get more out of it than we give. That's the funny little secret about the kingdom is we come away with a fuller heart than what we went with. But we're doing it not just to receive the good reward, but because we've already received abundant life. But as we give, we continue to have it restored. Are you guys hearing me on this generosity of time? It's so simple that I find myself falling all over myself, trying to make it more complicated than it is. But it really isn't. Your life's not your own. You were bought with a price. If you want the abundant life he has, see what he's doing and line your calendar up with it. That a preach. I should have just said that at the very beginning. We'd all be at lunch right now. Brian, we're having an after church meeting, just you and I. We're going to hug it out. Another way that you can give, I just want to sow seeds, but is casual hospitality. I believe it was Jason or Janelle, I can't remember who, but somebody preached on it, and I just love that verbiage, casual hospitality, that you just invite somebody over and say, hey, if you're ever up for it, would you like to come over and just have some tea and talk? I'd love to hear your story. Like, let God highlight somebody that you can give your time to. And you might say to yourself, but what if they think I'm lame? So what? People think God's lame. He just keeps asking. Until, are you with me? All right, what if my house is a mess? So what? You didn't offer them a clean house. You offered them tea. All right, what if I'm not that cool? You didn't offer that. You said, I'd love to hear your story. You're letting them know they're cool. All right. You have something to offer. You know, the gift of listening, we're going to talk more about that, but when you just sit down with somebody and say, I see you, and I'm super curious to know more, it is incredible when you give somebody the gift of your time. And it's incredible how God shows up in that moment and that ministry of encouragement, just listening and reflecting back, asking a couple questions. You're not there to fix. You're there to enjoy. You're there to celebrate. You're there to ask questions. And if they have a problem, go, actually, you know, it's interesting, but I'm curious what you think about this. Well, you just offer what you have. In fact, I'm going to end with that, and then we're going to hand out. In fact, yes, start handing out the assessment. I have a little assessment for you today, and we're going to take 3 minutes for you to fill it out, and you're going to take it with you and think about it. We'll wrap up with prayer. But 2 Corinthians 8, 12 through 15 says this, for if the readiness is there, in other words, the desire, it's acceptable according to what a person has, not according to what he does not have. In other words, if you have the willingness to give, he's talking about giving a financial gift at this point, but he says, it's according to what each person has, not according to what you don't have. When it comes to our time and talent, you're giving what you have. It's okay that there are things that you don't have. God's not asking you to give that. He's asking you to give what you do have. And each of us has some time. So what we're going to do is this little assessment is very simple, but we just want to get you started here to first of all ask the questions, how generous am I with my time? And we've got a little schematic there to just be like, ooh, where am I on that? Do I need to adjust my boundaries around my time? Is there a person or a group of people who could benefit from my presence and availability? And remember, as you're asking this, this is about God showing you where you can give your life away. It's not about you meeting your all-time awesome purpose in life. You guys, you've already met your all-time awesome purpose in life. You were made to be a son or a daughter of the Most High King and to live forever as a part of his family. You're in it. You're living your purpose. The question is, am I aligned with what God's up to this week? So I'm going to just stop talking. Pray for me. And I want you to just go ahead and just take some time and let the Holy Spirit guide you as you fill out this little assessment for yourself. And we're trusting that he's gonna meet with you in this. And we have this too, is that again, it's a budget. If I'm going to do one new thing, what can I take off? Maybe it's YouTube Shorts. If you do need a pen, just put your hand up and Rachel and some of these other peeps will bring you one. Oh, right here, bud. Oh, if you've got an extra half sheet, can you hold it up? Because we need We have a couple people who don't have them, so if you've got an extra, awesome. Oh, right over here, Mark, on the right. I just want to encourage you to feel free to continue to come back to this, and we're going to continue in this series of generosity. So we'll be referencing some of these things, but we wanted to give this to you as a tool just to begin that assessment. And there is one more group of people that I will simply say this. You need to assess what you're doing, and you do need to cut some things. But for those of you that this applies to, you're not adding. You're doing too much already. And the Lord wants you to prune for increase so that you are focusing on what he has asked you to do and you can be fully present with those that he's already asked you to work with and drop some of those things that he's like, I never asked you to do that. You just have a speech impediment and can't say no. So for those of you that's you, and we actually have a list. I'm going to start reading your names. I'm just kidding. most of us, I dare say, that doesn't apply to us. Most of us, I believe the Lord is compelling to look at it as his time and budget, and we need to be looking at those couple of spaces where he's saying, I want you to focus on this. That's most of us. But there are a few of you that is, you're on the other end. And again, I'm going to read your names. I'm just kidding. Let me pray for you, and let's go pick up our kiddos. Father, I want to thank you so much, God, that you invite us into your unhurried rhythms of grace. Lord, I ask that you'd give each of us the grace to hear you clearly in the area of stewarding the time you've given us, the grace to act upon it. Lord, let us lay hold of the abundant life with you, and let us see each of these things that we just thought about and heard about today as not us out doing this for you, but Lord, that we are with you. Let us do it in relationship and presence with you. In all these things, we ask for your help, and we thank you so much for letting us be here with you, Jesus. We choose you back. Amen. I want to invite the prayer team to come up. We'd love to bless you, stand with you, pray for healing, pray for whatever you might need. We want to agree with you in prayer, so don't hesitate to let us minister with you and before you go if you need that.